My dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 500 years ago this month, in October of 1512, a young Martin Luther received his doctorate of theology from the University of Wittenberg, and he joined the teaching faculty there. It was a milestone in his life and proved to be a catalyst in forming his theology in the years to come. His new position at the university provided an opportunity for Luther to study the scriptures and to give lectures to his students on various books of the Bible. Luther was driven in his studies to find answers to problems that have plagued him, plagued his conscience. How can a person who is bound in sin live in peace with God? How can a person stand before a righteous God, a holy God, and not be condemned? Through Luther's study of the scriptures, he eventually was led to write this: "One thing, and only one thing, is necessary for Christian life, righteousness, and freedom. That one thing is the most holy word of God, the gospel of Christ." Luther discovered the gospel. His eyes were made open to see the word that became flesh, Jesus, the one who made peace with God through his death and who gives life through his resurrection and who came to set the captives free who are bound by sin. And he does all of this, get this, as a gift. This was a radical word for Luther back then, and it's a radical word for us today. Just the kind of word that turns the world on its head, infuriates the devil, and ignites a reformation within Christ's church. Jesus' words to those Jews who were standing by him went right to the heart of the matter. "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciple." Jesus is not leaving any room for doubt about what the life of a true disciple looks like. He is offering them a way to be certain whether they are real followers, sincere followers. And who doesn't need a little certainty in such a religiously diverse and confusing world that we live in? To be assured that you and I are on the right track in living life that is pleasing to God. Don't you want to gauge how you're doing? I do. To know what God really thinks about you, how you're measuring up, especially when things aren't quite going your way, not going as planned. Jesus says to you, "If you are my true disciple, then abide in my word. Keep it. Hold fast to it. Don't move away from it. And those who abide in my word will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To be set free. Who are those that need to be set free? Prisoners? Slaves? People who are bound and shackled, held against their will? Exactly. And Jesus doesn't mince his words. He is face to face with men who need to be set free because they are enslaved and they don't even know it. And they are face to face with the one who came to set them free, to pay the ultimate price for freedom, paid by his blood on a cross for them and for you. So Jesus asks them a question. He gives them a test, a slave test. And you can take it too. The test to see whether you are a slave or not. It's simple. Do you sin? I mean, do you love God with all of your heart and with all of your affections? Do your worries and fears in this life have a grip on you? Do you love your neighbor, even the one that you don't like, and do all that you can do to help him or her to put their interest above yours? How about stopping the things that you know you shouldn't do, stopping those thoughts that you have, stopping the things you do that you hate? Or how about start doing the things that you want to do or know you should do? Hard? How about impossible? The thing about slaves is they can't free themselves. Otherwise, they wouldn't be slaves. You wouldn't be a slave. And you can't change your situation by trying harder to be free. To change your attitude, thinking, well, I'll just think as a free person, and no, that doesn't work. Slaves need to be set free. They need an outsider, someone besides themselves, to set them loose. And Jesus, my dear friends, has come to set you free. He died on a cross for slaves, for sinners, for you. He has set you free. All you who fall short day in and day out, you who have been found guilty and are held accountable for your sin, you whose mouth is shut closed by God's law and have no excuse. You who take life into your own hands to try to succeed on your own, to do all that you can do to get by and try to find peace in this world on your own. Christ has paid the price. He has paid your debt against your God. Paid in full. You are free, and Christ has purchased a new beginning for you. He has replaced your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. He has written his law upon your hearts. You are a new creation, a new Adam, and a new Eve. There's no catch, no fine print, no exclusion clause, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Really. Because you're not set free and forgiven based upon anything that you have done or didn't do. Just listen to his word and believe. You are made righteous, holy and pure, God's dear child, apart from your works, from your works of the law, but by faith and faith alone. One of the harsh realities of the fall is that we are bound in this body of flesh. And we're constantly reminded of our slavery, aren't we? The sins that once enslaved you still shackle you. Those hard things that you wrestle with that always seem to win. They can cause doubts. Maybe I'm not really free. They can lead to anxious thoughts. Maybe I'm really not forgiven. Maybe I'm not a true disciple after all. And then the slave in you starts to try to set you free. So we try harder to have victory over our sin. We make resolutions to become more serious about our Christianity, to be more serious about becoming more like Jesus, to follow in His footsteps. We look for others to teach us how to grow in holiness, to hold us accountable. And maybe, just maybe, if I start changing my behavior, things will start going better for me. The law becomes our hope to set us free. My friends, the law is not a remedy for your sin. The law can do a lot of things. It can hold back evil. It can help to protect us. It can force you and your neighbor to live peaceably with one another. But it's not the way out of bondage. It cannot set you free. There is only one who sets you free. Only one who delivers you from your body of flesh, your Savior, your Deliverer, Jesus the Christ. And in Him, there is no condemnation. There is no judgment against you. There is no damnation. Jesus was condemned for you. He was judged in your place. The sins that damn you, He took upon Himself, so that God in His justice now makes you just. God Himself declares you righteous for Christ's sake. Christians need the gospel. Christians need forgiveness. And this reformational truth has been lost in the daughter churches of the Protestant Reformation. The teaching of how-tos and to-dos has replaced the proclamation of the Word that gives life and salvation to those who are dying. Paul knew he needed it. Luther knew he needed it. And if you are a sinner sitting here this morning, you need it. And Jesus knows you need it. So He calls you to remain in His Word, to be a true disciple. Yet He knows that you are still bound by your sin. So He comes to you. He abides in you. He makes you a true disciple. Better yet, He makes you His true child. When Jesus was baptized, the Scriptures tell us that the Spirit of God came down and abided upon Him. And you, in your baptism, the Spirit of God has come and now abides in you. As long as you have breath, He is with you and remains in you. He's with you, His washed child. Jesus has set the table with His own body and blood right here this morning at this altar. And our Lord promises that those who eat His flesh and drink His blood, that He abides in Him and He abides in you. So listen and hear the words of Jesus come into your ears and into your mouth. He has come to set you free, and if Jesus sets you free, you are free indeed. Not just today, but tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Because His Word and your Savior remains forever. The eternal gospel. Your chains are loosened. You are free. Free to live. To do whatever free men and women do. In peace now with your God. In the name of Jesus. Amen.